Luke chapter 6, starting to read at verse 43. Luke 6, 43. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Let's pray. Lord, we've been reminded afresh this morning that we are sinners in need of a Saviour. We thank you that a Saviour has been given to our world. Drawing close to Christmas time now, at such a time we remember your stupendous gift, your indescribable gift, O God, to our world, the gift of your Son. And we thank you for him. And we thank you for his willingness to live and to die before rising again on our behalf. To pay the price, the awful price for our sin. We thank you, O Lord, that you have worked in so many of our lives, bringing us to the point of seeing our need, and granting us repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus. We thank you that we are those who have become new creatures in Christ Jesus, men and women, young people, boys and girls that have been born again of your Holy Spirit. We've been given a new heart. We've been given a Godward disposition. You've created desires within us, O Lord, to praise you, to seek your glory. We dare not think where we might be or what we might be doing this morning if you have not so graciously and mercifully worked in our lives. Lord, what you've done in our lives, we pray that you will do in the lives of others. We think of those in our families who are not yet Christians. We think of our neighbours who show little or no thought for the things of God. We think of our community here in Crockin Hill that we are endeavouring to reach with the good news of the gospel. Oh, please, Lord, working power to change lives through the word of your truth. Help us, Lord, to be bold in proclaiming it. Help us to be clear in our own minds about the gospel message so that we are able to share it well with others. We thank you that our sister Corinne knew and loved the Lord Jesus personally. We thank you that Eric and Sharon and others here this morning can be confident that she is with Jesus, which is better by far. All the discomfort that she knew in this life now has gone. There will be no more tears, no more crying, no more sadness. But then we pray for those that have been left behind. With Eric, especially too. Thank you that he's felt able to come along here this morning during his time of grief. We ask that you would be to him all that he needs. Help him with the new challenges that will now be his in life. We give in others to you who still feel the sadness of losing loved ones. Please be their comfort and their strength this morning. For others, Lord, who are experiencing difficulties of one kind or another, perhaps in their own lives, or perhaps they are concerned about members of the family, those who they love, please minister to them. May they prove, day by day, the sufficiency of your grace. Lord, you don't always take the problems away, but you have promised to be with us, and that you will never leave us or forsake us. We commit the Thanksgiving service of Dory to you that will take place this coming week. And may that be a great opportunity to make the gospel known to those who come along but as yet do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Continue to remember the wedding and the wider family at this time in our prayers. But Lord, as we look at your word this morning, whether we're young or old, we ask that you would give us understanding of it. We have a tendency to be a little dull regarding spiritual matters. We're so dependent upon your Spirit's aid to bring the truth to bear upon our minds and upon our hearts. May we be willing to take on board all that you have to say to us this day. And we ask all of these things in Jesus' name and peace. We're going to sing again, and after we've sung this song, the young people are going to go through to the band for their classes. It's about 827. And as we sing this hymn, we invite God to address our hearts through His word. Let's stand and sing. I do be encouraged to have your Bibles open and Luke and chapter 6. We're just looking at a few verses this morning. Verses 43-45. As I said earlier on in the service, my aunt recently died at the age of 95. She lived to what we might say was a good old age. And the reason she died was because her heart failed her. In matter of years, she found it difficult to make it from one room to the other without needing about a half an hour to regain her breath. But as I've said, she was a lady with a lovely character. I was so blessed, really, to have her as my aunt. From her inner being sprang godly thoughts and words, faith in Jesus Christ, love for God and His people, and so on. But why did these things spring from her heart? Well, for the simple reason that God had given her a new He had made her a new creature in Christ Jesus. And friends, this is what we all need. If we're going to exercise faith in Jesus Christ and live Christ-like lives, let me say plainly this morning that human efforts to reform simply won't do. We need to be made new by God. We need to be given new hearts. You know, we lament, don't we, sometimes the state of our nation. We lament the condition of so many nations upon the face of our planet. But if we want to see people change, then we need to see God at work, making people's hearts new. Well, as we turn to our passage this morning, let me remind us that Jesus is preaching to a large crowd of people. And let me take us for a moment back to verse 17 of chapter 6. He went down with them and stood on a level place. A large crowd of his disciples was there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem and from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Last week we looked at verses 39 to 42. And Jesus exhorted us not to follow blind guides, because they will lead us into the pit of hell. We need to make sure that we're following the Lord Jesus. We saw also how Jesus exhorted us to make sure that we adopt the right teacher, because we inevitably become like those who teach us. We need to make Jesus our teacher. We also saw Jesus exhorting us to make sure that we judge ourselves before we judge others, so that we do not behave like hypocrites. But this week, Jesus exhorts us to consider the condition of our hearts. Well, let us endeavor to do this under three headings. The first heading being principle. Let me read verses 43 and 44 to you. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. Now Jesus is establishing a principle here, and it's not rocket science, it's pretty easy to grasp hold of. He simply says that a good tree bears good fruit and a bad tree bears bad fruit. He says that if a bush is a thorn bush, presumably a thorn bush is a picture of a bad bush, then it's not going to produce figs that one can pick from it. And if a plant is a briar, that is a thorny plant, the sort that forms thickets, then it's not going to produce juicy grapes that one can pick from it. One needs a healthy grapevine in order for that. So a very simple principle is presented to us. But what is Jesus saying here? What is he getting at? Well, he's saying that we can tell a good person, let me put those two words in inverted commas, that is a true disciple of Jesus, by the kind of fruit they produce in their lives. Godly attitudes, deeds and words and so on. Now, it may be that someone after this service will want to pick up on those words that I put in inverted commas. By referring me to Romans chapter 3, where it says that no one is good. We read those verses this morning. We've sung this morning that no one is good, that no one is holy before God. But I'm simply running with the language that Jesus uses in this parable or illustration. When I speak about a good person this morning, I'm not speaking about someone who is perfectly good or righteous before God. I'm talking about someone who has so been changed by God that they are able to produce fruit, the kind of fruit that God desires. What determines whether a person is a disciple of Jesus is not whether they were baptized as children or have attended church for many years, but whether or not they are producing fruit in keeping with a person who has been given a changed heart, or has been made a new creation in Christ Jesus. You see, a true disciple of Jesus, a good person, is one who loves God and His church. A true disciple of Jesus is one who wants more of God, who delights in God, who wants to see God's will done on earth just as it is done in heaven for His glory. A true disciple of Jesus is one that wants to see the kingdom of God grow again for His glory and honor. Jesus is also making the point here that we can tell a bad person, that is someone who isn't a disciple of Jesus, by the kind of fruit they produce, and more importantly, by the kind of fruit they fail to produce. Now during Jesus' day, I think it was pretty obvious to see who was a bad tree. Such people were not interested in God and His Word. They were certainly not interested in His Son, the Lord Jesus. They were people who wanted to go their own selfish way rather than the way of God. Thieves, murderers, prostitutes, and so on and so forth. But in other cases, it was somewhat less obvious. You see, the Pharisees and teachers of the law gave the impression that they were spiritual and godly. They tithed to their income. They prayed in public. They wore religious garments. They read the scriptures and so on and so forth. But Jesus knew what they were really like. And of course, He taught His disciples to see what they were really like. You see, they had no love for Jesus. Neither did they have any love for the people that Jesus went to or came to Him and He changed. They had no love for the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy. They were only really concerned about their tradition. There was no inward reality to their religion. It was all show in order to win the praise of men. You see, these men were fundamentally lovers of self rather than lovers of God. They were bad bushes. They were bad trees. What about you and me this morning? Are we bad trees? Or are we good trees? The second word is character. Firstly, principle. Secondly, character. Let me read the first part of verse 45. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. Fruit is always true to character or the state of one's heart. A man once apologized for swearing by saying, "It really wasn't me." His friend said, "It had to be you, or it wouldn't have come out of you." Indeed, it had to be him, because who else could it have been? Well, in verse 45, the picture changes from a tree and a shrub to a treasure chest. The treasure chest is a picture of the heart, or one's true inner character. J. Stoll, whose writings you may have come across, writes this: heart is used in Scripture as the most comprehensive term for the authentic person. It is the part of our being where we desire, deliberate, and decide. It has been described as the place of conscious and decisive spiritual activity. The comprehensive term for a person as a whole, his feelings, desires, compassions, thought, understanding, and will. And the center of the person, the place to which God turns. The treasure chest, then, for the heart, it is the place from which a true character of a person is expressed and seen by others. You know as well as I do this morning that we cannot see other people's hearts. We cannot tell ultimately what is going on within. Only God can see the heart. There's a verse in the Old Testament that reminds us that man looks at the outward appearance whilst God looks upon the heart. We are not in a position, therefore, to give a complete and final judgment or assessment about the true state of a person's heart. But having said that, we are called to make judgments about people, certain judgments about people, in the light of the fruit that we are able to observe. For example, at times I need to make a judgment about whether a person is ready to be baptized or not. I need to ask them questions. I need to be able to see fruit of conversion. I don't want them, you see, to rush into something that they are not yet ready for. Though at the end of the day, I will baptize them on their profession of faith and not on account of some divine ability to determine the true state of their hearts. You, as church members, will at times need to make judgments about people. You see, you are the ones who determine whether a person becomes a church member or not. We have to do that in order to make sure that we maintain a pure or a converted membership. Okay, we cannot make a final judgment about whether a person is a Christian or not, but we are called to make a judgment based on their profession and evidence of a changed life. But let's not forget this morning that Jesus is addressing the crowd that is before him. He's challenging them to think about the condition of their hearts. And this morning, Jesus, through his word, it is challenging us to think about the true condition of our hearts. Have we been born again? Is there evidence of a changed heart in our lives? Do we love God and his son Jesus? Do we love his commands? Do we love his people? Do we love his gospel? Do we desire to see it be made known throughout the earth? Firstly, principle. Secondly, character. Thirdly, mouth. Let me read the last part of verse 45 to you. For out of the overflow of his heart, the mouth speaks. The mouth, or what a person says through their mouth, is particularly telling about the true state of their heart. In Matthew's Gospel, these words of Jesus are applied to the false teachers who spoke lies. Matthew 7:15-20, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit you will recognize them. And in Matthew 12, Jesus says to the Pharisees, "You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him." When we think of bad-mouthed people, we tend to think of those who blaspheme and curse and swear and say all kinds of mean things. And of course, those people are bad-mouthed people. But interestingly, when Jesus talks about bad-mouthed people, he's referring to those who appear nice and friendly, but do not speak the truth. Those who speak falsehood, those who deceive others by their false teaching. Comes out of our mouths is a pretty good indication of the true state of our hearts. Do we speak words that glorify God and that honor His Son? Is there evidence of a changed heart in my life but in your life? As we said earlier on in the service, the Bible tells us that by nature our hearts are not good, that they are wicked and corrupt. And out of our hearts, the Bible tells us, comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander, and so on. Matthew 15 and verse 19. That by nature we do not produce the kind of fruit that God desires. We are bad trees or bad bushes. And our hearts desperately need to be made new. They need to be changed. But the good news is this. But this is something that God promised in the Old Testament that He would do for His people. Let me read to you from Ezekiel 36. "For I will take you out of the nations, I will gather you from all the countries and bring you back into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart. Put a new spirit within you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws." This is what God is able to do for us. He's able to make us new. He's able to create new godly desires and aspirations within us. He did this in the life of Saul of Tarsus. Do you remember him? He was a Pharisee. Gave the impression, of course, that he was a very righteous man before God. The reality was that he was a murderous When we read the book of Acts, we see how that he went here, there, and everywhere in order to round up Christians that he might imprison them. And when they were put to death, he rejoiced. You see, he was only too glad to see the church come to an end. But his life was wonderfully transformed by the power of God. He was given a new heart. God also worked in the life of Zacchaeus. And we know the change that was brought about there. 1 minute he's as greedy as you can possibly imagine. He's become a wealthy man because of his greed. But Jesus goes to his house, brings salvation to his house. And the very next moment, what is he doing? He's giving the money back to those that he has stolen from. He's a new man. His life has begun to take a new direction. a Philippian jailer would be another person's story to tell. A changed heart. Of course, these men did not become perfect when their hearts were changed, but they were given a new Godward disposition and were able to repent and trust in Jesus for the forgiveness of sins and peace with God. Again, I ask the question, has God been at work in our lives? Are we a born again person? Have we become a new creature in Christ Jesus? Do we have desires that are such that we want to love God and to please God and to honor God? But having made our hearts new, they, of course, need to be renewed day by day. And God will do this in the lives of his disciples because he has promised to do so. The question this morning is this. Do we feel our need for our hearts to be changed day by day? Are we a people that pray along with the psalmist, create in me a pure heart, O God? Are we a people that pray from time to time, Lord, my desires are not all that you would have them be. Please make my desires to conform with your desire. See, this is how a man or a woman whose heart has been changed by God can be expected to pray. Is this the way that we pray? You see, a disciple of Jesus is one that thirsts for righteousness and longs to be holy, just as God is holy. Again, is there evidence of a changed heart? Let's examine our own heart, shall we, this morning, to see whether we are a good tree or a bad tree. Remember, a bad tree that produces no fruit is fit for the fire. But that a tree that produces good fruit is evidence of being a disciple of the Lord Jesus, one who has repented of their sin and trusted in Jesus Christ for salvation, and is destined for it. Father, how much this passage challenge the lives of those who were listening 2,000 years ago. How it should challenge our lives. We need to have a changed heart. Men and women throughout the world need to experience a changed heart if indeed they are going to be able to live in God's glory. Let's pray.